Along with New Year's Day, every January 1st, the church celebrates the Feast of the Holy Name of Jesus. It was formerly known as the Feast of the Circumcision of Christ, because traditionally, Jewish male infants were circumcised on the eighth day after their birth, and today, January 1st, is the eighth day of Christmas. Makes sense. However, I'm not really going to talk about that old name for this day, the Feast of the Circumcision, partly because, well, it hits a little too close to home for about half of us here. So the Feast of the Holy Name. Why is the name Jesus so holy? Well, it derives from the Greek word Jesus, which itself derives from the Aramaic Yeshua, which is a shorter version of the Hebrew Yehoshua, or Joshua, which means Yahweh is salvation, or God saves, if you will. So today we honor the name of Jesus because, as an angel of the Lord told Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, he will save his people from their sins. At the very start of every new year on January 1st, we remember that we are saved from our all too human selves by the power of God's unconditional love. There is a way to be good again, and every new year brings another chance to try, trusting that our all too feeble resolutions to do better this time will still be met by the unwavering love of Jesus once again. So that's one great reason to celebrate his name this day, God Saves. Now, over the years, as you've come to church, you may have noticed that at times during worship up front here, when the name of Jesus is said, some of us bow our head. It is not that we are nodding off to sleep, usually. Rather, we are honoring this holy name. The action of bowing our heads comes directly from today's second reading in Paul's letter to the Philippians. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bend. Now, most of us up here are a little too old to do the knee thing, to genuflect. So we acknowledge the name of Jesus with a bow. Today's reading from Philippians is famously called the Kenosis passage, K-E-N-O-S-I-S, Kenosis, the Greek word that describes Christ's act of self-emptying, of willingly allowing his divine nature to drain out of him, if you will, for a time, so that he could be fully human and with us. The passage says, though he was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. So God bestows favor on Jesus for emptying himself of the God within and humbling himself, in effect, going against his own divine nature, just to be closer to us in relationship. So we bow our heads at the name of Jesus in thanks for divine love choosing to become flesh among us. Now, in general, names can be sacred, special. Today's gospel reading notes, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. You, too, were named by someone else, usually before you were born. Your mother, your father, sometimes your older sister. Each of you has a name with a meaning behind it, however humble or grand. It evokes a person who was dear to the person who named you. Or it can describe a place or a thing that is meaningful to them. So often we take our name for granted. We hear it every day, and we don't stop to consider why it is ours, whether it fits us or not. I was on a retreat years ago in seminary, and the leader of the retreat had us do an icebreaker exercise where we went around the circle and said something about how we got our name. I mean, our first name, our Christian name. The exercise was intended to get us warmed up for the spiritual work ahead on the retreat. But as each person began to share, it became apparent that there was a story behind almost every name in that room. And almost like we'd never been asked before, each of us wanted to tell our story. So this intended icebreaker wound up being a large part of the retreat itself, as it offered a little window into the soul of each one of us. One woman said, "I was named Anne after my great-grandmother on my mother's side, whom I never met. But I was told she was fiercely independent, back in a time when women were supposed to be subservient. In moments of struggle in my life, I sometimes think of her, and I draw power from my name like it's an energy source, her fierceness still alive in me." One man shared, "I hate my name because it's so boring, John. Everyone was named John back then, my father, his father, etc., and all the boys in school. But I wonder whether it might be one of the reasons I've always insisted on being different from those around me, following my curiosity rather than settling for the mundane choices that everyone else makes. So I guess in a way I should be grateful for my name, John. I'm named after the Leonard Cohen song, Suzanne, which was important to my parents when they were dating. My dad once told me he sometimes sings the song and my name like it's a precious memory, that it grounds him in the reminder of that first love he felt for my mom whenever he's feeling shaky in his life. I think it's a cool song, and I don't mind my name. At least they didn't name me after Good Golly Miss Molly or Peggy Sue." Ricardo was my grandfather's name on my mother's side. He worked on the railroads in Mexico and was gone much of the time. Then he died in a train accident when my mother was only 13 years old. My mother's brother, my uncle, was also named Ricardo, and he was the youngest of nine. He too died young, in his 50s, pretty much from alcoholism. I always found him dashing and intelligent. He was a lawyer in a family of working class, uneducated siblings. I'm the youngest of five, also dashing and intelligent. Though I hope not to follow in their footsteps and die young. But it's interesting that I love travel and I love learning so much, given that my namesake worked on the railroads and my uncle was highly educated. All this is to say, your name has meaning, maybe a little, maybe a lot. The name you are given at birth is meant to be a sort of blessing, a one or two word bestowal of the hopes, dreams, and cherished memories of others. Shortly after your birth, your parents name you generally because of an emotional connection with someone they knew, or for any number of reasons. But the word you will likely hear most often in your life, your name, is one that already comes loaded with hope and blessing and history. So it is in today's first reading from the book of Numbers with what is called the Aaronic blessing after Aaron. It says, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the Israelites. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." God then says, "So they shall put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." God's name is a blessing. The name of Jesus is a reminder of that salvific blessing. And your name, because of those who loved you, is a blessing too. In the biblical scholar Robert Alter's translation of the Hebrew Bible, he notes that a nearly identical version of this Aaronic blessing was found on two silver filigree amulets in a burial cave at a site called Katef Hinnom in Jerusalem in 1980. The amulets have been dated to the 7th century or early 6th century BC. This Aaronic blessing on them from God has been precious to many over centuries. Those are from 2,700 years ago. I would suggest to you today that you too are recipients of this blessing from God, because it's not just words being said, it is a claiming by God of you. I have blessed you, and you are mine. My face shines upon you, regarding you as precious, and I bestow a spark of divinity upon you. So within the blessings of those who named you at your birth is a deeper naming and blessing from God. And it is very appropriate that we celebrate this Feast of the Holy Name on January 1st as a reminder to us of our own blessedness as we step into a new year. That passage from Philippians begins, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who emptied himself." Let the same mind be in you. Let your divinity be emptied out, but not drained away. Let it pour out of you in the coming year, your divinity shining, so that all who receive it will have their lives brightened for having known you or met you. This is how the mind of Christ works and how through you it can change the world. So how will you meet the possibilities of this new year? Will you choose to love and let yourself be loved? Will you be open to change and overcoming that fear that has dogged you all these years up until this one? Will you find a way to work less and spend more time doing what you love? Will you think about yourself less? In large part, it is up to you. What I will offer is this: keep listening for God's call to you this year. Hold your faith close and know that you are saved and loved. And use the blessing that is you, that was bestowed on you and is you, to bless the world as much as you can in this year. Do these things, and the rest will fall into place. And when your time comes, and when you are at that great introductory circle in the sky, and they decide to use the name game as an icebreaker, may the story you tell up there reflect how you lived up to your name or exceeded its expectations. And may we all have a sweet narrative to share when that time comes, filled with vignettes of compassion, love, joy, and overcoming. And may it truly, really, finally begin in this new year. So God bless you as you take that first step forward into your future.